Hello, everybody, and welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe, because that's what we do here. We talk kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
We haven't said this in a while on the podcast. I just wanted to point it out before we start. If you've come here looking for Raw results or SmackDown results, you've come to the wrong place. I feel like we need to mention that more, because
Do you have people that
No, not really. But like we just we haven't really mentioned that in a bunch of episodes, and we could have new people. It seems like every week we have new people tuning into the podcast.
Yeah,
and they might not exactly know what it's about. They might be coming here to hear us talk about Shinsuke Nakamura or Baron Corbin, and that's just not something we're going to do on this podcast. Although I do like Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin,
but if they were in any of these magazines, we would talk about them. But
I don't think Baron Corbin was even born in the times of these magazines.
No, I think Baron Corbin was, I think he was like 1 year old.
Yeah.
When all that stuff. But Shinsuke, he was like our age.
Yeah.
At this time.
Yeah.
And he was definitely not wrestling.
Baron Corbin, for a guy who is young as he is, and he's got like a little baby face. I think he's a little kid when I see him. But he's got the hair of an old man, though.
I know, he's got like a...
Holy cow, that stuff's thinning in the front.
He has what we, my wife and I jokingly call Josh Gondelman syndrome,
mm-hmm.
Which Josh Gondelman is a comedian and he's a writer, the John Oliver Show on HBO. And he's awesome. He's a funny comedian, super funny comedian, and one of the nicest guys. He's super young. He's always been super young because, like, you know, at least to me, he's always been super young. I think when I met him, like I was like 28 and he was like 23 or something. Like I felt he was like super young and he's got a very, he's got a very youthful perspective, but his hair is thinning, mm-hmm. like you would see, what's his face? Baron Corbin. Like the hair is just definitely thinning. It's always been he's had no hair. Like okay. He's one of those guys, like he looks like he's got the hair of a 40-year-old. But he's super young.
Yeah.
You know, so we just say, oh, he's got Josh Gondelman syndrome. But,
yeah.
Like which is no sign of Josh Gondelman. I love if Josh is listening, Josh, I love you.
Pretty soon it's gonna be known as Joe Todaro syndrome. My hair in the front is thinning like really bad now.
And think about shaving it?
No, I feel like if you're going bald and you shave your head, you're just hiding it. It's the same thing as wearing a hat.
Well, that's what Kurt Angle did.
Yeah, I feel that that's dumb. I'm going to go Larry David and just let what I have grow. It's not that bad. It's just the front, so I'll have a receding hairline, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in 10 years, I think it'll be all gone in the front. But everything else in the back is pretty thick.
No. So, well, there you go. At least you can have that. You have that going. You're going to have do the Lobot.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
I think I might even invest in a good rug. Just because it's only the front and it's not anywhere else in the head. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll go to Just for Men or something. Or that's the hair
Men's
guy.
Hair Club.
Yeah, Men's Hair Club. That's the one.
Hair Club for Men.
Yeah, the Hair Club for Men.
I don't think I've ever known anybody that like a friend of mine that's had a toupee.
Yeah.
I know other people in my family that I'm related to that have had toupees, but not like people that I'm like that I just know on a regular basis.
And I want to get one that's like it's obvious that it's a toupee. I want one like that where people are just like, oh, look at that guy's rug, it's terrible.
Yeah,
that's the kind like what, I want.
Like Uncle Lewis from the Vacation movie.
Yeah,
Christmas Vacation.
And then nobody's just like. Nobody's going to say anything. They're just going to point and stare. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, I know.
But, yeah, I get it. I get it.
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do when you're going bald. So
I you know, what's funny is, so I had, so I used to cut my hair short.
Yeah.
Which I have the way I have it now. I used to always cut my hair short. And I came out here for Los Angeles when I was going to grad school. And I came out here to Los Angeles to do a semester here. And one of my teachers was like, he suggested, you know what? You're taller than most people in Hollywood. So, and he's true. It's true. Most, a lot of people in Hollywood are short, but you should grow your hair out so you don't look as threatening.
Okay.
And I've had, you know, years in years past, I have had problems with my hair, you know, trying to, you know, grow it out. Cause my mom would always cut my hair short when I was in high school. And my mom would be like, oh, you should grow your hair out for your senior picture and it'll look better. And it's like, no, it won't, because I'd have to grow it out for like the entire summer.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I can't just grow it out for like a month or two and have it look like it means anything, because it just grows out. It mm-hmm. doesn't grow around things. You have to, you know, wait. And it just, you know, and she's like, I just want you to look nice. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Have you tried growing it since the chemo's been over with years now?
Here's to answer your question, no.
Mm-hmm.
But before, what had happened was, so I started growing my hair out when I was in Boston. I remember telling my wife, Jen, I said, look, I want to grow my hair out and I need your help. I don't know why I asked for her help, but I just needed her help because I figured she was a woman. She can help maybe tell me things about my hair. But I grew my hair out, and I grew out like a whole bunch of hair.
Yeah.
You know, I grew a whole bunch of hair, and I, you know, I actually took long enough so I could put product in it, and I styled it after Chris Jericho. I tried to make Chris Jericho and his heel run, his 2008, 2009 heel run. You know, that was, I had a picture of that on my iPod Touch mm-hmm. that I would show to the barber. Be like, can I get the Jericho? And I had that. And then, yeah, I had that up until I had to get chemo. And then at that point, I just shaved it off, you know. But the joke was, is that when I first started, so I used to do comedy in Boston, and I didn't have hair for like the first couple of months or whatever, you know, first year or whatever. And I was there, and then I grew it out, and people that I would see there, like this one comedian who, you know, is bald, you know, was balding, was just like, what the hell, that sucks. It's like, because I was like, you know, 28, you know, we're around the same age or whatever, and he's like, that sucks, you have a full head of hair and it's not thinning or anything, it looks great, that's bullshit. He was so upset.
Yeah.
That I was able to manage my hair. But yeah, no, it was you know, when I got chemo, I decided just to shave it all off. Because it just made more sense.
Yeah.
For me, just I didn't want to deal with it, and then I just continued to like it short. Mm-hmm. Why, I don't know why I had to regale that whole tale to everybody, but
yeah,
you had to deal with it.
Well, mine's just gotten really bad, probably within the last year, and it's very depressing. Really, isn't the word, because it's still there.
It's sobering.
Yeah, it's just.
Because it tells you it's a sign that you're getting older.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just like, because it would be easier if it was like falling out and then like I could deal with it, then I'd know I'm bald. But that's not the case. It's just I look in the mirror and every few months it just seems like there's less hair in the front.
Yeah,
and it's just really weird. Because yeah, like if it was falling out and it was on the shower floor or whatever, when you get out of the shower or on my bed pillow, like people have when they're going bald, it would make more sense, but I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
It's just like just thinning and disappearing. It's just
a gradual lull of your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do we get on that topic?
I think Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah. 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 So we're not going to talk about Baron Corbin except for his hair.
Yeah.
So deal with it, folks.
He doesn't have very good hair. It's too bad. Like I hope he loses it all in the front, but lets it keep growing in the back and just.
He has what I've saw described, and it's accurate. There's a band called Strapping Young Lad, and the guy, the singer, his name is Devin Townsend, and he has basically the same hairstyle as what Devin Corbin has, Baron Corbin has, except you know Devin Townsend is older and he's kind of like a. I guess he's like a necro butcher looking motherfucker kind of type, you know? So, yeah, I guess you could say necro butcher equals Baron Corbin in this case.
And I just can't take
Baron Corbin is a hotter necro butcher.
I can't take Baron Corbin seriously just because he looks young. Like he's got a young man's face.
He does. No, he looks super young.
Yeah.
He looks like the, like when you get like you go to like one of those booths and they're like, hey, we'll make you look young and you'll get, you know, do you ever see those?
Mm-hmm.
Like your photo booths, and it's like, here's what you could look if you had kids, and here's what would you look if you're older, and here's how you look if you're young. And it looks like that's basically just take like a baby's face and just superimpose it onto yours.
Yeah.
And that's basically what Baron Corbin looks like.
He looks like he's like 23 years old. Like in the
I think he's not that old.
Yeah.
So although he's been like a boxer and he's played football. He's actually very well. He's very well experienced.
Well, when you're a lone wolf, you have to be.
You know, you gotta find things to do.
Yeah, he's a lone wolf.
Yeah. So you know, real quick, I did want to talk about something that I did watch, sort of recently. or well, since the last time we taped, that regards to shitty wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Not really shitty. It's shitty. But, and I'll post this for you because I want you to see it. I didn't get around to doing it, but it's basically the NWF. So remember how, like, in the 80s, in, like, the mid-80s, there was, like, the NWF, which was... The NWF did exist in, like, Buffalo.
I was going to say, yeah, the Buffalo promotion, that was, like, the 70s.
But that's not it. There was a Northeast promotion. It was basically kind of like the precursor to ECW.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, or even Tri-State, where it was the NWF, and it had... There's this video. It's like a documentary about like violent wrestling being too violent.
No.
But it's done in like a kayfabe way. So it's really weird. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Because it talks about it goes through the tale of DC Drake. Are you familiar with DC Drake?
No, I'm not.
So if you well, surprise, because we have to, maybe if we read enough Wrestling Eye, you'll learn about DC Drake, because DC Drake was the fucking man of those magazines. He was like the Hulk Hogan of those magazines back in the mid-80s, because he was like this baby face that went crazy and like started putting mascara on his eyes and started doing like Marilyn Manson like weird hair, and he had the Baron Corbin haircut.
Oh, okay.
So actually, this ties in. So you had the Baron, basically imagine Baron Corbin with like heavy eye black on around his eyes and wearing Demolition's clothes.
Oh, okay.
But also sweatpants.
Oh, well,
and,
yeah.
And he was even, and he was even, it wasn't in good shape.
No.
So that's so basically
nothing like Baron Corbin.
No, always, but except for the head. But he that's what his he was, his gimmick was, like, he was, you know, just crazy, and he just was. There's videos of him like fighting Jules Strongbow in cages and Indian strap matches, I'm not gonna really try to paraphrase or describe, because I want you to see this and you'll enjoy this. And we definitely, I'm disappointed. Ah, man, I'm just pissed that I didn't tell you to watch this for this time, because it would have been a lot of fun to talk about. But yeah, we'll. Maybe in between, you know what? Maybe in between our taping our show, maybe we'll watch some of it real quick.
Okay.
If you could you have a computer, Joe?
I do.
So we'll we'll watch it.
It is 2017.
Or you have YouTube on your.
I've got it on my PS4.
Nice.
My PS3.
Nice.
My other PS4. My Xbox One. Yeah, you name it.
Great.
I've got it.
We'll find it. You might be blown as to why does this exist?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's take a break, though.
Okay.
We'll get to our book after the break.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents. And we're very uninformed, so...
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast, because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, we're back here on I Could Talk Kayfabe, and we are going to do, and I hate doing all these 86, 87.
86 and 87 just happens to be the, you know, I went on eBay and I bought a bunch of magazines, and it just happens to be the years that I bought them, I guess.
Yeah, but nonetheless, though,
like a big lot of magazines, and it was all from those couple of years. So.
But it's a good era for wrestling.
Yeah, it's a great era.
Great era for wrestling, so it's kind of hard to not talk about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, 86, man, I was, I was 6 years old, and I was only watching WWF at the time because I was a kid, so I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on in other promotions.
So we are doing The Wrestler, from the Aptermag series.
Yes.
The Victory Sports series, The Wrestler from August 1986. And this is a very, very busy cover.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
A lot of stories on here. So
this one's gonna make the Facebook ad revenue. People have to like double and triple check it before they approve the ad. When you get a cover like this and it's got all this text, they always like frown upon that. They're like, oh, we don't know if we're gonna accept it, and then they always end up accepting it. So
wait, really?
Yeah.
Why would they not? 'Cause
they don't like images with text.
Oh.
But I've never had one denied. So yeah.
I'm certain the people have submitted worse.
Yeah.
But so okay, so the main story, the main cover story is The Empire Strikes Back, the British Bulldogs win the WWF tag team title. And we got Davey Boy and Dynamite looking jacked and standing off here on the side here.
Not wearing matching trunks.
No, that's very rare too.
Yeah, Davey Boy's in blue and Dynamite's in red. So they're usually wearing the same trunks.
Yeah.
Not in this case.
And then on the left side, we have Paul Ettering's shocking statement, the Road Warriors can't beat the Midnight Express.
No, I guess they couldn't.
No, they had to. It's actually that we'll bring up the article when we get to it. But
if I can mention Paul Ettering for a second.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, you know, Mid-South is on the WWE Network, and I've been watching a lot of the 1981 stuff, and Paul Ettering is like feuding with the Iron Sheik and does the club challenge, and Paul Ellering's promos are just the weirdest but greatest promos ever.
Really?
Yeah, he's he talks like this, baby, and he comes in the ring, and he kind of sounds like Andrew Dice Clay.
does he have the bleached hair?
He's got bleached hair, tie-dye trunks. He had a great body in 1981.
Well, yeah, he was in really good shape before, you know. I think he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that's why he stopped wrestling. But I mean, he was always, I think he started out in really good shape.
I never really was exposed to Paul Ellering the wrestler. I only knew him as Paul Ellering, the Road Warriors manager. And I know a whole new side of Paul Ellering now.
He was not a very good wrestler.
No, I was going to say, I don't think I'm better for knowing it, but there was a whole different side to him that I wasn't aware of. So
yeah, and we also have the Freebirds Bruiser Brody War, a special report by Kerry Von Erich.
Oh, Kerry Von Erich is doing journalism.
Yeah, it's just what it is. It's just it just says report by Kerry Von Erich, and it's just the letter like what. Like the H over and over and over again because he fell asleep on the keyboard. It was just a bunch of gibberish because he passed out.
I can't imagine Kerry Von Erich sitting like at a, I guess it'd be like a typewriter back then and typing an article.
That's a lot of look. This is a lot of work.
Yeah.
To do because he'd have to type it up or handwrite it.
Yeah.
Mail it to the Aftermags. You know, get it there. You know, make sure it gets there. Probably get tracking on it.
He would probably just have like Chris Von Erich write the article for him.
Oh, no, Mike's doing it.
Mike's doing it?
Yeah, Mike's doing it.
Oh, okay.
Mike's a rookie of this year. I think Mike's a rookie here. Well, maybe, no, he's still right. He's a few years in, but Mike can do it. Or, no, I mean, you know, Chris.
Yeah, I think Chris would do it. Yeah, I think he'd make him do it. He was like the runt of the litter, so.
Yeah, all right, R.I.P., all the Von Erichs. R.I.P. all of those Von Erichs we just mentioned.
Yeah. The ones we mentioned, yeah, they're all.
We literally just mentioned three dead Von Erichs.
Yeah, and Dynamite Kid and Road Warrior Hawk and
Dynamite's not dead.
Davey Boy's dead.
Davey Boy's dead.
Dynamite's not dead. He's alive.
Yeah, Hawk is dead.
Hawk is dead.
And I think he's holding Condry.
Yeah, who's not dead.
Condry's not dead.
But Superfly Jimmy Snuka will soar again at the top of
Yes.
And rest in peace, Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, this is a update on Jimmy Snuka because you're not a wrestling magazine in the 80s if you don't mention Jimmy Snuka at least three times.
Yeah.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan defeats Dick Slater, the pride of the North America. The pride of North America is now proud of himself.
Is Dick Slater alive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is. And I had to actually think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Wait, are we sure then? Yes. Dick Slater is alive. I once described Dick Slater as the Nick Nolte of wrestling.
We probably just jinxed him. He's probably going to die by the time this. Well, this is airing tomorrow, so I don't know.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
We live in weird times, Joe.
The Russian guy, he died like the day before we aired his.
Ivan Koloff.
Rest in peace. We talked about him and then he died, so yeah.
Also, Q&A, Kendall Windham. So you're getting all of the stories here this week, and then they covered everything on the cover. Nice. Okay, so let's jump to a few of these special segments. We're just kind of jump around this.
I want a Pro Wrestling Illustrated frisbee, by the way. There's the merchandise page is right there in front of me, and I just saw that they have a frisbee and I want one.
Can you, this would be, I don't know if they still sell these shirts anymore, because I used to love it when you, I don't know why, I just thought it was cool. Like, they would have collages in these magazines of, like, Hogan wearing it, and, like, what's his face, Flair, just all the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Just all the wearing it. It's like, man, I wanted that.
Well, if they don't make it, they should.
$7.
And it would be a lot easier to make it nowadays, I'd imagine. You know what? We could make our own Pro Wrestling Illustrated shirts if they don't make those anymore. Just get red shirts and iron on the print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, real quick, I'm just gonna do this because we're just going to flip through and we're going to talk about these ones that me and Joe try to structure stuff out, and sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it does. We'll see.
So right off the bat, we have your letters.
Yeah.
That's their letter page of the wrestler. And I just wanted to talk about this real quick because I just opened this. I saw this. It's a article about Wendy Richter. A letter about Wendy Richter. And it's somebody being like, where's Wendy Richter? And, you know, somebody in the editor, you know, normally they don't reply to these letters, but they mentioned here that she's like, Wendy Richter is back in Puerto Rico. She has no plans to return to the WWF.
So this is before she went to the AWA.
She popped up in the AWA, and then, you know, just I think she just retired after that.
Yeah.
She married Hugo Savinovich.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're together anymore.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, and she...
Did Jim Evans write that letter?
No. Oh. No, it is actually Adam Johnson for Barbados West Indies.
Oh, he's from the Barbados.
Yeah, this guy from the island, the Caribbean islands. It's Savio, that's his pen name for Savio Vega.
Actually. Oh, okay.
But two things. I just realized that Wendy Richter is in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's actually a thing that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, which is, it's deserved, but it's one of those things where you don't remember. You're like, oh, wow, she actually is in the Hall of Fame. Like, they actually made peace with her, she made peace with them.
I would have loved to have seen her come back in the 90s as a heel.
Yeah.
And, like, feud with, like, Trish Stratus and Lita. Like, I think that would have been cool. Like, she could have been like, I blazed the trail for you ladies. And
yeah.
I think that would have been a cool angle to do, but...
Well, that's kind of like what they probably want to do with Mickie James, like, right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, actually, she would have been... That would have been fun, but what probably really would have happened if she came back to the 90s is she would have ended up on an episode of Monday Nitro jobbing to Medusa.
Yeah.
And they would just, and she would just walk out. They'd just be like, Wendy Richter. And then, you know.
Yeah, no, there would be no hype. Yeah, she would just walk out.
They'd be like, whoa, look, it's Wendy Richter. Yeah. And, you know, Larry Zbyszko would be like, ah, you know. And Bobby Heaton would be like, hey, fuck you, Lee Marshall, or whatever he says. Which, God bless.
You're absolutely right. I think that's how it probably
would. That's exactly how it would go. Because anytime you'd be sitting, that's the thing, you'd watch Nitro in like 98, 97, 98, whatever, and you'd see like Len Denton walk out or Marty Jannetty walk out, and you'd be like, hey, look who it is. Hey. They're just, you know, they go and they job to who the fuck ever, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but.
They'll job to Mike Enos.
Mike Enos is awesome, by the way. But real quick, I also wanted to point out, they have this picture of her where it's just basically, you know, the caption is, Wendy Richter is photographed while on safari in Africa before beginning her comeback in Puerto Rico. And it just looks like a picture that you would see like on like Forensic Files or something. Like, it's just a picture of her in a sun hat and, you know, just standing by some water.
I mean, this could have been taken out here, taken anywhere. But yeah, somebody sent in a vacation photo of Wendy Richter to prove that she's alive. So, let's see here. You asked us. This is actually a fun thing they would do every month in the Wrestler, where they would, I'm assuming, kayfabe questions from people, or maybe they didn't. You know what? I'm gonna say they didn't. That people actually sent in these questions, and then they would kayfabe the answers that would come from the wrestlers.
Yeah,
you know, because usually you get like, because they would ask everybody. They would ask, you know, it'd be like, Ric Flair, what do you think of, you know, like for instance, Ric Flair, how do you feel about the recent decision by the World Class Wrestling Association to break away from the NWA and eliminate its disqualification rule? And Ric Flair's like, eh, I don't care because I'm the best. Woo! So. You know, they have one here, which is my question is for the Kiwi sheepherders.
Oh.
If they come up with the answer, if they can come up with the answer. So right off the bat, this woman does not like the sheepherders. Why don't you two animals go back to New Zealand and play with your sheep? It would be very natural. You idiots look like sheep and act like sheep. Judy Reddy. From Syracuse, New York.
Well, that's not very nice.
No, this is very... That's actually quite...
Syracuse is awfully close to Binghamton. Like, what's going on with that part of the state? Where you got, like, her and Jim Evans writing letters. Ooh, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's... That's just a mean letter. And, you know, basically, Luke just goes, sheep, we look like sheep. Thank you very much. In my country, it's a compliment. Me and my brother Butch learned to wrestle with sheep.
Oh.
So...
Wasn't Jack Victory with them at that time, too?
Maybe. Not quite.
And Lady Maxine?
Maybe. I don't know. It's a good question. I think eventually when they got to... No, that was Johnny Ace.
Yeah.
Johnny Ace. When they got to Florida, Johnny Ace was their flag bearer. But Jack Victory... Yeah, you're right. Probably Jack was there before. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Basically, just... a way for them to cover quick stories.
Yeah.
You know, and they would have, you know, four guys on one side, but thumbs up to blah, blah, blah. Thumbs down to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the faces and the heels, basically.
Not all the time. They would also cachet it like, you know, Hogan or whoever it is, like a face that they can think they say, like, well, this face isn't defending his title enough. So we think he sucks and we're going to tell him thumbs down. So, but thumbs up to... Paul Ellering and Junkyard Dog for saving the Haiti kid.
Oh, good job, Junkyard Dog.
And then Chris Adams for recovering from blindness and going to a 15-minute draw with Mr. Electricity, Steve Regal.
Oh.
And then Superfly for coming... Thumbs up to Superfly for coming back. And then thumbs down to Jim Cornette, Ric Flair, who attacked Ricky Morton in the dressing room.
Oh, that...
Thumbs down to Jesse Barr, just in general. I think Dutch Jesse Barr does. He's boring.
Yeah, if I see Jesse Barr, it's gonna be like if there was a thumbs down icon on Facebook, he would get that.
No, actually, this is a pretty good reason. Barr's credibility as a professional was severely diminished by his latest antics. To attract the attention of Southern champion Lex Lugar, Barr disguised himself as a woman and burst into the ring brandishing a concrete filled pocketbook. I don't, you know what? I've watched a lot of Florida wrestling from this time period. I don't remember that at all.
Well, that's crazy.
I want to see that.
I remember Ric Flair dressed in drag at the original Uncensored.
Yeah, so that's right.
That was a common theme, I guess, back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
A wrestler would dress in drag.
He didn't even need to change his hair. Well, not bad. Back then, he had to wear a wig. But, like, if he did it then, he didn't even need to change his hair. Look, I mean, Jesse Barr, he's got, like, the hair of my mom that she had back in the late 80s. And, of course, Sheik Adnan Al-Kasi basically, you know, we're in the middle of, you know, the Cold War and terrorism, you know, from the – I mean, not much different from today, I guess. But they're basically, like, telling him, you know, stop being a dick in our country. Introducing the Mod Squad.
Yeah, that's one of your favorite teams.
Yes, I actually have them in my WWE 2K17 roster.
Yeah.
Jobbers Mike and Mac and Jeff? No, I forgot the other one's name is. But basically, they're the Jeffers.
Yeah.
The two Jeffers brothers, and they were jobbers in Mid-Atlantic and, like, you know, on WCW, like, if you watch, like, Championship Wrestling or whatever, from the 80s, and... they went off and became the Mod Squad, which is basically they are angry cops that couldn't beat people up legally, so they became wrestlers.
Oh, okay. Well, they must have been in a district where it was not a lot of crime.
Apparently, they found... So the premise, the story is that J.D. Costello, who was a manager in Memphis... So basically, they went to Memphis to, you know, get better, and, you know, get some seasoning, and they developed this gimmick, which is a gimmick that they... You know, they ran with for a couple of years. They were, you know, they went back to NWA and, you know, Central States and stuff, and they had a good run with it. But Costello, who's like, he's basically like Jim Cornette light, you know, and he, but except he dressed it like a mobster, like a 1950s yeah. mobster, or 1930s mobster with the hat and the suspenders
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, and the flower in the pocket. Yeah.
Apparently, so based out of New Orleans, his mother told him, he says, "You're not doing anything in your life, and you're not going to get any of my inheritance when I die. So you're awful, and, you know, get out of my sight." And so he went to a bar to cry on Bourbon Street, and he sat down next to the Mod Squad, Spike and Basher, and they were just fired from the New Orleans Police Department. Something about police brutality, beating up criminals, and cheap winos.
Oh.
And they wanted to hurt people, so he got them to be wrestlers, and he named them the Mod Squad, which stands M-O-D, which stands for Masters of Disaster. And so they got on his J.D. Costello's Learjet, and they took him to the Mid-South area.
So J.D. Costello has a Learjet?
Yes, in kayfabe, he has a Learjet.
Okay, but his mom just cut him off. So
not yet. I think he was going to get cut off if he didn't. Like, I think he's going to cut off from the will.
Oh, okay.
But he was given. But what happens is, so he, the story is that he went to the bar. They went to Mid-South and they won the titles there. And, but basically they won the titles by default because the Fantastics no-showed. So basically they just won the titles by default. And then at the end of the story, J.D. Costello's mother is like, you know what? You did good. So we're going to, you can have my money again.
Oh, he's back in the will.
Back
in the will. All
that's
right.
That's how it goes. So, yeah, that's the Mod Squad.
That's their history in a nutshell.
This is great, actually. This is why the wrestler is great, because they have, every month, they have something called introducing.
Yeah.
So this is where you find, like, these wrestlers that, like, you know, went on to be something. You know, Triple H, when he was terrorizing, he debuted in here. You know, so it's fun to go back and find these and be like, oh, wow, you know, so-and-so is being featured.
So. I'm so glad that they go into the backstory, because I would have never known.
Yeah, this is that's what's great about this. And there's another one that we're going to read in another issue of The Wrestler that is, I think, is even better.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you're right.
Q&A with Kendall Windham. I don't really want to say much about this other than the fact that Eddie Ellner does the interview.
Oh, okay.
So Eddie Ellner just basically calls him skinny the whole time and just tells him that.
Well, he's got a point.
And he's right, because yeah. Kendall Windham at this time was very, very thin.
Yeah.
You know, he did go on to grow to a regular man size. He's a former tag team champion.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, Wendy Richter being in the Hall of Fame and Kendall Windham winning the WCW Tag Team Championship in 1999.
Yeah.
Two improbable things in wrestling that you would never think.
Yeah.
Even back in 1986.
And he's wrestling the Cuban Assassin in one of these photos.
Yeah, shout out to Dave Sierra.
Yeah.
And Kevin Sullivan. He's a Kevin Sullivan up here. And he's, but basically, yeah, Eddie Ellner's just like telling him, like, you know, I don't know if you could be able to handle being beat on by men that are 50, 60 pounds better, heavier than you. And he's like, well, you know, I'm a good wrestler and my diet, you know. And he's like, what's so special about your diet? And he's like, well, I eat meat and potatoes.
Oh, it doesn't include steroids.
But he also has a personal nutritionist.
Oh, okay.
It is the weird kayfabe response.
Maybe he watched a lot of Jane Austen videos in the 80s, and that was his workout regimen.
Oh, I thought you meant, I was thinking the author.
No.
I was like, how do you work out the
fitness guru of the 80s?
Jane Fonda?
No, Jane Austen. There was another one.
Denise Austen,
that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I was like, Jane Austen, author.
Yeah, that's right, Denise Austen. And,
yeah.
And then there was Jane Fonda, yeah. I just watched 9 to 5 last night.
Oh, yeah?
With Jane Fonda.
Is that a good movie?
You know, It is what it is. I don't know if it really holds up, but it wasn't terrible. Dolly Parton's kind of awful as an actress, but...
Well, but it's Dolly Parton, yeah, so everybody loves her.
In the 80s, she was... Well, I mean, she's still huge, but in the 80s, that was like her prime.
Do you remember that movie Straight Talk?
Yes. Yes, I do. I remember the song more.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I actually saw the movie, but I know the song.
I saw the movie, and there's a scene where apparently she has sex with James Woods.
Wow.
You don't see it, but, you know, it's implied.
Oh, we got Hercules Hernandez.
So basically they just do like a little panel.
Yeah. And so you got some guys like Bruno Sammartino, who is like, let me tell you, Hercules Hernandez, he's a very, very, very tough man. He's got a good upper body strength, and that's my Bruno Sammartino.
That's actually pretty good.
So then you've got like him, and then you've got like Killer Kowalski's like, don't let the fancy clothing fool you. Sure, Hernandez may look like something out of Ben-Hur, but once he takes off those leather duds, he's as rugged as they come. But then you got guys like Buddy Rogers, who's just like, I'll tell you something, pal, Hercules Hernandez is a sloppy, sloppy wrestler. He's all over the mat, and he maintains no strict battle plan. And Luthez continues to bury him, and Vern Gagne compares him to Dr. Death Steve Williams, only without the drive. So, yeah.
And then Gene Kaniski's there, too.
Oh, yeah. Gene Kaniski's got to put in his 2 cents, too. So, yeah, it was just funny that these guys are just ripping on him. But Hercules Hernandez, rest in peace.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Hercules Hernandez and R.I.P. Cousin Junior.
Oh, Cousin Junior. He's wrestling.
I believe that is Larry or whatever the frick his name is.
R.I.P. everyone on this panel except for Bruno, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You're correct. Bruno has outlasted everybody on this panel.
Yeah.
Freebirds, Brody War. Not really much to say here.
Special report by Kerry Von Erich. Yeah. Kerry Von Erich actually typed this.
He did. I do want to say this picture here of Brody doing a test of strength. And
You know what's funny? Okay, so you just pointed that out, that he's doing a test of strength. A quick glance, it just looks like he's got a lot of chest hair.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It looks like, because he's doing a test of strength against Terry Gordy, and Terry's got that, you know, the big crazy hair, and it looks like he's just wearing like a big rug on his chest.
Yeah.
So, but that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, there's a lot, you know, actually some cool backstage photos here. I didn't really know that Brody and the Freebirds mixed it up.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess that was a deal. Duggan
won the North American title.
I don't really have much to say else about this other than the North American title at this time is one of my favorite titles to see.
That is one weird looking belt.
Because it's so weird and it's gigantic. Like, yeah. It looks like a giant serving tray.
Yeah.
But sure, like, it's a belt, and it's like, because it's so, it's tall. It's really tall.
It takes up his whole abdomen.
Yeah.
Yep. That's crazy.
Which is, it's his attack style Jim Duggan we're talking about.
And I like it because, like, you know how the big gold belt, the old world heavyweight title, like, it looks like a belt because it's like rounded. This thing is just like, not, it's not rounded, it's just kind of there, and it's just a big eyesore. It kind of looks like I don't even know, man. It looks like a Egyptian hieroglyphics tablet. Yeah,
there's a lot. There's a
tablet. It looks like a tablet. It looks like one of the Ten Commandments tablets. That's what it looks like.
It comes down from the heavens.
Yeah.
To anoint Hacksaw Jim Duggan as its savior. Yeah, that there's a lot going on that belt too, because you have like the Mid-South logo, like the wrestling. You can kind of see the guy with the hands up. So that's in the crazy belt. And then I don't know how long this belt was around for, because this is 1986. So eventually, it's already UWF.
Yeah.
So the UWF there's an actual UWF title coming, but the North American title, you know, this version of it, at least, I don't know how long this was, but that's a lot of work for a belt like that. I hope somebody still has it. Like, I hope they didn't throw it out like Hulk Hogan did to his belt.
Yeah, it's in like Bill Watts' ex-wife's basement along with the tape library.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's there. Yeah. You know, I mean, I would like to own this belt.
Yeah.
I like when I see nerds walking around the wrestling events with WWF belts and like, oh, I got a belt. I don't care about those belts.
No.
I want,
now that I see this, I want this as well. Yeah.
I want this belt. I want I'll take the old NWA television championships. I think it was the national title. I have a picture with. Mm-hmm. I got paid a picture for $5 to hold the national television title from Georgia.
And I would love to have. It was the actual one.
Yeah.
British Bulldogs beat Cheeky. No.
No, they beat the Hart Foundation.
No.
Right? No.
No, they beat this is right after Valentine.
Oh, okay.
The WrestleMania 2, they beat Valentine and Beefcake.
Yeah.
So good for them. Jimmy Snuka soaring again.
Soaring again.
He's
jumping. There's a boxing ring he's in, and he's jumping on somebody.
Yeah, what's he doing in the boxing
ring? He's also barefoot.
Well, he's in. I think, you know what this is? I bet this is in the Polynesian.
Okay.
Because if you watch some of the Polynesian stuff, they have, you know, just weird rings and stuff like that. I actually been watching, that's another thing I watched fairly recently was some Polynesian wrestling where you don't know anybody who anybody is except for, like, Snuka and, like, maybe a few Samoans. And maybe a few other people that they tell you who they are. But a lot of people, you're just like, I don't know who the fuck that is. And it's probably just some guy from the States on vacation, you know, wrestling here.
Yeah.
But Superfly was messing around there, and he was messing around on the indies, and I think he ends up in AWA.
In Wrestle Rock.
Wrestle Rock to team up with Greg Gagne against, I think it's Sheik Alkasi and... Or no, not Sheik Alkasi.
It looks like Brozy and Nord.
Oh, Brody, that's right. Brody and Nord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, how'd that happen? Brody and Nord, they can't exist in the same space. It was probably like Time Cop.
Yeah.
They probably like morted together.
Yeah, because I remember in the Wrestle Rock Rumble, Greg Gagne, he's in a rage and he wants Brody in the cage. And so, yeah.
So angry.
Yeah. He was. There'll be a Wrestle Rock Rumble reference. Pretty soon, actually. I'll post it in the Facebook group as soon. So make sure you like us on Facebook because we're doing another Wrestle Rock Rumble. And you'll see.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't even know about it.
No,
yeah.
I don't.
So for those of you in the Phoenix area, my buddy Ernie does stand-up comedy. And he's headlining a show in July, and they've dubbed it the Ernie Rock Rumble. And so they're doing another version of the Wrestle Rock Rumble music video.
Oh,
only it's the Ernie Rock Rumble. And somebody who hosts this podcast may make an appearance in that video. I'm just saying.
Are you going to do the Scott Hall thing coming out of the pool?
No. I've already filmed my spot.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. I'm not in a pool.
You're not coming out of a pool.
I don't think anyone's coming out of the pool in the Speedo. But the Ernie Rock Rumble in July.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, good looks to Ernie.
Yeah.
Road Warriors can't beat the Midnight Express. Basically, the premise of this is that the Road Warriors are having trouble with Jim Cornette, even with Paul Ellering there.
Yeah.
Because he keeps causing them to get DQ'd or keeps making them lose their cool. And there's this whole story here about how Craig Peters, the writer of this, he was backstage and he heard... Paul Ellering yelling at the Road Warriors and basically telling them that they suck and that he was going to walk out on them and stuff like that and just, you know, just lighting them up. And, you know, but he was really just doing it to motivate them because, you know, they apparently were just not motivated enough to take care of Cornette and keep the Midnight Express, you know, to put them down, which, you know, they never ended up doing it, but, you know, what are you going to do? Midnight Express. I'm disappointed that the Road Warriors never really got a good run in the NWA with the belts. I felt that that should have been a thing at some point. Maybe they probably couldn't maybe obviously there's a lot of political reasons why it never happened, but like as a kayfabe fan, that would have made perfect sense. You know? I mean, even in the WWF, I felt like there weren't champions for that long.
No, I think they were just kind of like just a side attraction. It's like we have the tag champs and we have the Road Warriors. So,
yeah,
I think that's kind of how they were used.
I mean, it was good to – I mean, I don't know if it was something where they cared about winning the belt so much as it was that they just got paid just to you know, because they would draw. At least they drew for a while. I think when they got to the WWF or at least, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, they didn't really draw.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, they've had, it's just people just were over it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, that's basically what's up here with Paul Ellering. And now we get to some fun articles here.
They got Beyond the Squared Circle. You got some backstage photos. And what's funny is, so you have Lady Maxine and Jack Victory. And Lady Maxine's wearing an Orange Crush shirt, which is like a kind of shirt you could go buy at Target today. Like, it's just weird seeing it there. And you, and like, I don't know. It's just weird to me.
I'm not going
to
lie. Lady Maxine looks really cute here.
She's a good looking broad.
She looks good here. And yeah. I'm kind of jealous of Jack Victory. For some reason, she's also wearing army fatigues, just like Jack Victory.
Well,
she was
with the sheep herders.
Oh, that's right. So you had to wear army fatigues no matter what.
Yeah.
And she's also wearing a thing on her arm, like one of those metal arm like bracelets, but it's like up higher on her bicep, which I didn't think that was a thing in the 80s. I thought that was more of like a 90s thing.
Maybe she was the trendsetter.
Nice.
Yeah.
We also have a candid photo of Paul Bosch and Black Bart talking.
Yeah.
So scintillating. Lance Von Erich getting juiced.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked.
He's getting swole.
You have Jim Cornette and J.J. Dillon adjusting each other's collars, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have Ricky Morton or Tony Schiavone choking Ricky Morton for some reason. Not like, you know, like a jokingly.
Yeah. Because that's believable.
And then we have
Dusty Rhodes' younger brother.
So Dusty Rhodes' younger brother, Larry Runnels, who also could also be Judd Apatow in this picture. This totally looks like Judd Apatow talking to Baby Doll at a recent cocktail party. So
yeah.
I think it's Judd Apatow.
And you got a kid in a mask wearing a Hulk Hogan t-shirt.
Yeah, so that's our candid photos for this week. You know what? Let's talk about the ratings.
Yeah, we got the top tens of every promotion. So you got the NWA, the AWA.
Basically, when I look through these ratings, I just try to find something that's, you know, we'll try to find something that's unique.
Yeah.
To stuff here. And to be honest, I don't know, I haven't really seen anything. I mean, AWA's got your usual suspects. For the 86 AWA.
Stan Hansen's the champ.
Stan Hansen's the champ.
Sergeant Slaughter rated number one.
Well, he's the America's champ.
Yeah.
They gave him that belt just for him.
Yeah.
And that's, I think he's like the only champion.
Scott Hall all the way in at number seven.
Yeah.
Falling off the ranks a little bit.
I know. What the hell?
Yeah.
And WWF, you got Steamboat and Magnificent Morocco. Morocco's pretty high for, up here at this point.
Yeah.
That's pretty high for him. Number four, number three. Right under Steamboat and Savage. But yeah, that's a who's who of 80s WWF. World Championship Wrestling, you have
Magnum TA, number one.
Yeah, the U.S. champ. But then you also have Hector Guerrero down there, too. And then you got Continental, Northwest. You got Most Popular, Most Hated, Mid-South, Florida, UWF, Taras Bulba. I know he was one of their shitty Russians.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that he's in there. Or that's right. Yeah, they had two shitty Russians. They had Korsia Korchenko and Taras Bulba. They were the shitty foreigners for the UWF, both in the ratings here. And then World Class. You have anything else you want to say about these ratings?
Oh, yeah, and then you got a Memphis in there, too. It's the normal Memphis. Billy Travis, number five. Rest in peace, Billy Travis.
R.I.P. Billy Travis.
R.I.P. Buddy Landell. Joe LaDuke.
R.I.P. Joe LaDuke. Whoever Abdul Qaddafi is. I should know who that is, but I don't
probably think dead, so R.I.P.
R.I.P. whoever you are. We actually get a Central States rating here.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Bob Brown.
Bulldog Bob Brown, I assume. Bruiser Brody, Holly Race, Butch Reed, right before he went to the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
WWF.
Diamond Timothy Flowers.
Yeah, Diamond Timothy Flowers. Kevin the Magnificent, a.k.a. Kevin Kelly, a.k.a. Nails. So he's in there.
Oh.
Yeah. So you got yourself some Central States before Sam Houston came in and tore it up.
Yeah.
Once Crockett bought it, they basically made Sam Houston the champion and had him feud with Bill Dundee forever.
Oh.
And then the territory died. And I think that's about it for this book. That was another shot of this North American.
Oh, yeah. Dick Slater's got the belt in this photo with some broad.
Dark Journey.
Dark Journey. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they ask her what happened to Dark Journey. So, actually, that's why this photo's here. Because Dark Journey, you're familiar with Dark Journey?
I've heard the name. Now I see the face.
Well, so. Dark Journey, she was basically a valet for Dick Slater at first. He was doing it because it was like, you know, a white man dating a black woman.
Isn't that the one that somebody like met in the bar and she said she wanted to be a wrestler and then she showed up for a couple shows and then that was it?
Didn't
we talk about her before?
Probably.
Yeah.
She's also the same one that apparently the story goes is that Sting cheated. She cheated on Dick Slater with Sting and Dick Slater came into the locker room and beat the shit out of Sting, and Sting took it because he knew he did wrong, because he was, you know, young Sting at the time, and he put on his makeup and went out for his match having the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
And then Dark Journey went on to be a valet for Tully Blanchard for a little bit. That's where I remember her from, because she was with Tully Blanchard for a little bit when I was watching NWA back in 87. But yeah. And basically, Dick's like, just like, she just went away for a bit. So, that's it for the wrestler. This is, I say, this is a very good magazine.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff in here. It's probably the most well-written magazine that I've read so far.
No color in the magazine. No color photos.
No color.
Yeah.
So, no, we're talking the covers. The cover is color, and that's it. That's all you get.
That's it. Everything else is black and white, but it's good reading.
Yeah,
it's good reading. Good gun advertisements, but here's a photo we were talking about earlier. The wrestlers wearing the Pro Wrestling Illustrated shirt.
It's the 85 year end issue for PWI, and you got Hogan wearing it, you got Flair wearing it, you got the Road Warriors. They did modifications to it.
Yeah, they cut off the sleeves.
Cut off the sleeves, made them into tank tops.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good looking shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Like I said, it's so easy to reproduce. We can make our own.
There's that one place that I got. I've gotten a shirt or two from there. Barbershop Window.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's probably a shirt up there, and because I don't look on there every week, so I don't know what they put up, but I know that's.
I haven't looked on there in a long time.
Yeah, I got that. I got my Beast Incarnate shirt.
Yeah,
which is basically Marvel's Beast, but looks like Brock Lesnar. And I get a lot of comments on it. A lot of people like it.
Yeah, it's a good shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice quality, too. So that's it for this week's show, I guess. We're done talking about The Wrestler from August 1986. And
the month of my sixth birthday.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about this book, Joe?
My sixth birthday, we had it at Showbiz Pizza Place.
Oh, nice. Was that just in Western New York?
No. So,
you're right. It was national.
Showbiz Pizza Place and Chuck E. Cheese were like the two competing big guns, and then they merged and became one company.
Yeah.
Showbiz Pizza Place bought Chuck E. Cheese, and they became one. But what happened was the corporation wanted to own the Rock of Fire Explosion, which was the band at Showbiz Pizza Place, and the owner of the Rock of Fire Explosion trademarks, he was like, no, fuck that, I'm keeping my guys. So that's why they've all been converted to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. However, the Rock of Fire Explosion were superior robots.
Yes, they were.
They had leather faces and could make facial expressions.
Have you seen the documentary?
Yes.
About the Rock of Fire? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah, it's friggin' awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Go watch that documentary.
If you are a child of the 80s like us, you'll be very pleased to watch that.
So then, remember when Rock of Fire Explosion, when Showbiz closed in Buffalo?
And it became Major Magics?
Major Magics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they replaced it with Major Magics, which was another one, which I don't think is around anymore. If it is, it's not here.
No, but the only one that I remember going to was there was one in, and this is for Buffalo people, but
yeah,
there was one in West Seneca.
Oh, okay. So there
in the hamlet of Ebenezer.
Okay, yeah. The one I used to go to was in Amherst, and it was like next to a Burlington Coat Factory.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the Showbiz Pizza Place was, and then they replaced it with Major Magics, which was like this talking, kind of looked like a nutcracker kind of guy.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, that. It was like an old man.
Used to play Afterburner at Showbiz Pizza Place.
Yeah, they had lots of cool games there. I remember playing the Simpsons game there, arcades. You know, I remember playing a lot of arcades games there.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, folks.
You can find us on iTunes and rate us 5 stars on iTunes and help grow the podcast. We're getting a lot of great feedback on Facebook, and we appreciate it. And on Twitter, you can find me at SweatpantsJoe, and on Twitter and Instagram, and plug your Twitter there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can find me on Angry Hero Sean on Twitter, SHAWN is how you spell Sean. You can find myself on Instagram as Angry Hero Sean, and of course my other podcast with my wife Jen, doing comic books called Worst Collection Ever. You can find that on iTunes and anywhere you get your podcasts. So, and please, speaking on, oh, I'm sorry, not iTunes, but Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please go rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend. give us 5 stars if you're rating us, and you know, leave whatever you want. Put your favorite. Make fun of Kendall Windham.
Yes, please do. He deserves it.
Or Jesse Barr. Say Jesse Barr a thumbs down. 5 stars for your show.
Yeah,
that's what you just put. But or whatever you think we deserve. But definitely, please check us out and support on iTunes and anywhere you can. Spread the show. So, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next time.